Tithing, Chapter 18 of the booklet, Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God. We believe in tithing as a way of honoring God with our substance and as a means of serving Him in the preaching of the gospel, the care of the church, attending the festivals and helping the needy. Proverbs 3, verses 9 through 10. Genesis 14, verses 17 through 20. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 14. Numbers 18, verse 21. And Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 through 29. To tithe means to give or take a tenth of. In Scripture, it refers to giving a tenth of all increase. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. Derived from one's produce, property, or income for the support of a religious purpose. The motivation to tithe is a worshipful recognition of God as the creator and possessor of the entire universe and everything in it, including ourselves. Although tithing became a codified or written law under the covenant God made with ancient Israel at Mount Sinai, it was historically practiced among those who were faithful to God before the covenant. Abraham, after defeating the coalition of kings who had kidnapped his nephew, tithed on the spoils of war to Melchizedek, priest of God Most High. Genesis 14, verse 18 through 22. Abraham obviously understood giving a tenth as the appropriate way to honor God with one's physical possessions. It is also noteworthy that Abraham gave the tenth to Melchizedek, a representative of the Creator God. In fact, this same Melchizedek was the divine Word who was later born in the flesh as Jesus Christ, as shown in Hebrews 7 verses 1 through 3. Abraham recognized the underlying premise for giving the tithe to God. He is the actual possessor of heaven and earth, who made his victory in all things possible. God reminds us throughout the Bible, and people of God respectfully acknowledge that everything belongs to God. Exodus 19 verse 5, Job 41 verse 11, Psalm 24 verse 1, and 50 verse 12, and Haggai 2 verse 8. And you shall remember the Lord your God, Moses told Israel, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. Tithing is thus, first and foremost, an act of worshipful recognition of God as our source of existence, blessings, and providence. Jacob also followed the example of his grandfather Abraham. When God reconfirmed to him the promises he had made to Abraham, Jacob promised God, "Of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth, or tithe, to you." Genesis 28 verses 20 through 22. The practice of tithing was later incorporated into the covenant with Israel as written law. The tribe of Levi, devoted to the nation's religious service and not given an inheritance of land from which to derive increase, Numbers 18 verse 23, was to receive the tithe of Israel's agricultural produce in return for its service. The Levites, based on what they have received in tithes from the people, in turn tithed to the priestly family of Aaron, verses 26 through 28. As time passed, the tithe was carelessly neglected. Following the Jewish return from Babylonian exile, God corrected the nation over this matter in the strongest of terms, Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. Failure to tithe, God said, was tantamount to robbing him, and the people were consequently cursed. Yet he also promised that renewed obedience in tithing would result in the blessings from him, so abundant that there would not be room enough to receive it. Actually, God said here that the people robbed him in tithes and offerings, showing that they were expected to give additional offerings beyond their tithes, the amounts of which were personally determined. Offerings could be given at any time, but were specifically required during God's festival seasons, when each was to give as he was able, in accordance with the blessings he had received from God, Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 through 17. several centuries later, Jesus himself clearly upheld the practice of tithing, stating, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, garden herbs, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Matthew 23, verse 23. Rather than abolishing the practice of tithing, Christ plainly confirmed his will that tithing should indeed be practiced in even seemingly minor aspects of one's increase, along with a severe adherence to other weightier or more important matters that they were obviously neglecting, as tithes and offerings in Israel were given to the tribe of Levi for their livelihood and service to God. The church in the first century provided financial support for Christ's ministers to carry out their work. Instances and the principles relating to this practice are found in several passages. See Luke 10, verses 1 and 7 through 8, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 14, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 7 through 9, Philippians 4, verses 14 through 18, and Hebrews 7. In Deuteronomy 14, we see the practice of tithing required for two other purposes: having the means to attend and celebrate God's festivals, verses 22 through 27, and caring for the poor and needy, verses 28 through 29. Since we believe in observing God's festivals, listed in Leviticus 23, and we believe in taking care of the poor and needy, we acknowledge the continuity of the tithing described in these purposes. We acknowledge the continuity of the tithing described for these purposes. The United Church of God teaches that tithing remains a universal law, and that one's willing obedience to this law reflects the unselfish, giving nature of our Creator and Provider. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. Concerning administration of this law, it is the duty of the church to teach the people to tithe, but it is the responsibility of the individual to obey. Tithing is a personal matter of faith between the individual and his Creator. We teach that anyone devoted to following God should obey him in this fundamental way, but it is not appointed to the church to enforce and regulate tithe paying. Because of the economic complexities in today's societies, the church regularly receives many technical questions about tithing, and we seek to provide wise administrative guidance according to God's will and direction. Regarding voluntary giving beyond the tithing that God requires, He desires that we be generous with the blessings He has given us, willing to help others through contributing to the work of His church in proclaiming His truth and caring for the needs of members. And we are to help the needy we encounter as we are able. Scripture shows that while we must properly provide for our families and be wise stewards of our resources, we are also to be giving and caring people. Through tithing and additional voluntary offerings that spring from willing and cheerful giving, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, we both honor God and support the physical means for doing His work of proclaiming the gospel to the world and making disciples among all nations, Matthew 24, verse 14, and 28, verses 19 through 20. God has provided the perfect financial system, which takes care of the needs of His work, the personal need to attend His festivals, and to the need to care for the poor. For more details, download or request "What Does the Bible Teach About Tithing?" Thanks for listening to Tithing, Chapter 18 of the booklet, Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God. For the rest of this booklet, please visit ucg.org.